The time now is 6 minutes past 11 o'clock.
Welcome to Inside Art Basel from WLRN, Miami Herald News. I'm Alicia Zuckerman. In the first part of this hour, we're going to be talking about the history of Art Basel Miami Beach and also how the show is put together, some of the nuts and bolts. My guest is Miami Herald business editor Jane Wooldridge. Jane has been busily coordinating the paper's Art Basel coverage. And Jane, you're having a pretty busy week.
Yeah, anybody who wants to talk about anything other than art this week, forget about it. That includes my husband.
Well, I am glad to be counted among those who want to talk with you about art. Thank you for taking time to be here. I want to start off with some of the history behind Art Basel. First, actually, I want to let people know that we would like them to be part of the conversation, too, and you can do that by tweeting us at WLRN. And before we get into some of the history, there's a little bit of controversy that I hear around town about how to pronounce Art Basel. I often hear it Art Basel and a couple of other ways as well. Jane, what's the definitive breakdown on that?
Art Basel is named after the town of Basel, Switzerland, which is where the originating fair takes place. And as somebody who spent some years being tortured in a German class in junior high and up, I can promise you that it's Basel. It is not that leafy thing that goes on the salad. It is not any of those other things. It's a Basel.
Okay, so there you have it. You heard it here. It is indeed Art Basel. How did Art Basel get to Miami Beach?
Well, Art Basel got to Miami Beach, not because we were smart enough to try and get it here. Let me start there. The people who have the fair Art Basel in Switzerland, the parent fair, are very sophisticated. They actually own a company called Messerschweiz, which is partly owned by the town of Basel, and it's the exhibition center. It's sort of the convention center. The art fair is one of the shows they put on. They're also very famous for a watched show that they do there. And they had been thinking about expanding the art fair to other parts of the world. So they're looking in the U.S. Many people from their staff had obviously come to Miami, because who doesn't? And also they were influenced by a number of really top collectors who are still here today. The Rubels, the Bremens, De La Cruz, a number of other people who were regular buyers at Basel.
Well, what's interesting about that is those are all private collectors. Those are private collections that in Miami have been made available to the public, which is kind of an unusual arrangement.
Well, it's not an entirely unusual arrangement, although it is referred to as the Miami model. But you have to understand that all of those private collection museums that we think of now as part of the landscape didn't exist when Basel started looking at Miami. And in fact, Miami did have an art scene. There's a project going on this week called Miami Says Art, and it's a reprise of a 1976 project that Marty Kreloff, an artist, did. Marty has since moved to LA but came back for this project, has a lot of friends and fans here. And it so there was an art community, but it was a fairly nascent thing. People used to walk around wearing these buttons saying "In my lifetime," and what they meant was we would get a performing arts center in their lifetime. And that, in fact, took a very long time. You would go to these Chamber of Commerce, they have an annual goals conference meeting, and arts was nowhere on the program at all. And Robin Ryder, who some people may know, a longtime arts activist here, was really one of the people who pushed the idea that arts are good for business, that they help develop a community. And of course, the Knight Foundation has been a very, very strong player in this. But all of this comes after this moment when some Art Basel people were here, talked to the local collectors, said, you know, would there be a host committee here that would be interested in working with us to bring the fair here? And from Basel's standpoint, of course, it's the perfect scenario because their main fair's in June, so this was 6 months later. 6 months later, where is warm? We're warm. What else do we have going for us? Well, we're the nexus to Latin America. So instead of becoming just one more thing in New York, they thought, okay, this is probably a place where the fair becomes a bit, little bit of a standout.
Oh, I see. So they realized they could be the big thing here.
Well, certainly they get a lot of attention. Then it was a real uphill slog for them because at that time, you had to actually book a certain specific number of nights in hotels in Miami Beach in order to get access to use the convention center, to book the convention center.
Hmm.
Well, when you're Art Basel and what happens is wealthy collectors and museum groups from all over the world sort of show up on your doorstep, you can't say, oh, and yes, in order for you to come, you have to book XYZ hotel room. They're going to book the hotel rooms because they have to have a place to sleep. But this was not an absolute guarantee. So it took some uphill pushing on the part of Basel, the host committee, and Neeson Kasdan, who was then mayor of Miami Beach, who was very supportive, a group of other local people who really worked to make this possible. And it was a lot harder on our end than one might expect. I mean, you might think, oh, you know, here comes Christmas. Here's this giant gift. No. There was some convincing that had to be done.
Well, it was done, and here we are. This is the 11th season, the 11th year of Art Basel Miami Beach. How is the art that is showcased during this fair, how does it stand out? What is sort of the Art Basel Miami Beach art look like, and how is it different from Art Basel in Switzerland?
Well, the differences between here and Switzerland are not so much around the art. The art,
the weather.
The weather is one thing, but another thing that helped make this fair go is that if you've spent a lot of time in Europe, you would know that the social structure in Europe is fairly rigid. And Basel, lovely medieval sweet town on the river, home to some pharmaceutical companies, but really a historic place where people did not necessarily just invite strangers into their homes. When Art Basel came to Miami, of course, all the major collectors here opened their homes to these vast parties. And I remember, I shouldn't admit this, but I do remember sitting on the sidewalk outside of someone's home after a giant bash with a couple of major artists like John Baldessari, sitting around waiting for our cars to show up from valet and sort of having another beer. And, you know, probably not what you think of as a sophisticated moment in time, but yeah, we were just having a grand old time. And so it was a very welcoming community. And that is part of what made the Europeans want to come here, because this was an experience that they weren't getting in Basel itself.
So they could be part of a really serious art experience, but at the same time, let their hair down a little bit.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Miami's party reputation now in some ways is we still celebrate in a big way this week, but it's not quite as over the top as it was. But this, so the art is in Miami set in a place that is comfortable for people to be, not always easy to get around depending on the traffic patterns, but certainly widely accessible, and the whole community is widely accessible. There are a lot of good restaurants, there are, you know, a pile of hotels, and at least in the year that I first went to Basel, which was 2001, there were three good restaurants in town, and I ended up sharing a room in a youth hostel with somebody because there were literally no hotel rooms.
Well, obviously, a lot has changed, and we're going to get into that in the next part of the show a little bit later, how Art Basel has changed Miami. But talk a little about the kind of artwork that is
Absolutely.
Shown at Art Basel.
Well, the main Art Basel Miami Beach is the primary fair, and it is the fair that the Art Basel people bring here. There are a grillion other fairs around town. They are spinoff fairs. They are satellite fairs. They're not the same thing. What Art Basel Miami Beach shows, there are 260-odd galleries there, and each one of them pretty much brings the very best of what they have to offer in terms of contemporary and modern art. And at one point, that was it was primarily European, then it became more European, Latin American, U.S., and now there are a lot of Asian galleries. There are Asian galleries, there are Middle Eastern galleries, so there's a wider range. But we're talking about modern masters, Picasso, Debuffet, a lot of names people know, and often art that you can't actually see in museums. Some of it's just not available in museums. Much of it's very high quality, not all of it, but there's very good art at this show. And then there's some real contemporary cutting edge art, the kind of thing that often leaves you scratching your head going, why was that supposed to be art? And actually, if you take the time and you talk to the gallerists, you will find out why this is art. It's a wonderful experience. It's not just about the big purchase, although heaven knows if I had that sort of money, I might be purchasing. But it's a great experience and a great place to learn about art.
If you're wondering as you're going through Art Basel and the other fairs, why is this supposed to be art? We're asking people to tweet that to us at WLRN. I had this experience a few years ago at Art Basel where I had just come from this Takahashi Murakami exhibition out in Los Angeles at the LACMA, at the Los Angeles County Museum of Art, and I fell in love with Murakami through that exhibition, and then there was this giant Murakami mushroom right there in Art Basel, and it was for sale, but it was $875,000, so... You know, on a journalist's salary, probably not going
to happen. I'm familiar with that. But I have to say that it is one of the few places on the planet that you can see that high level of art all in one place. And the kicker, of course, is what you just said. It's for sale. So even if it's not in your price range, you can fantasize. And in fact, there are things. This is one of the things, you know, we always kick around. Everybody goes, oh, no, it's not really possible to buy something at Basel. Well, okay, so maybe you and I live in the same salary range. Not possible to buy major artworks. But there are actually some very interesting things for sale. Last year, we bought a series of six art books at a booth that were really wonderful and were affordable even on our salaries.
So there is some wiggle room there.
There is a little bit of wiggle room.
We're going to go to a break. When we come back on Inside Art Basel, we'll look at how Art Basel has shaped Miami with the Miami Herald's Jane Wooldridge, who I've been speaking with, as well as Wynwood developer David Lombardi and artist George Sanchez Calderon. We'll discuss that and more right after the break. Stay with us.
You're listening to Inside Art Basel on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station. NPR for the Florida Keys is 91.5 WKWM. We're streaming online as well at WLRN.org. We're funded by listeners like you and by BB&T Center, presenting Italian tenor Andrea Bocelli on February 8th in his only South Florida appearance. Bocelli tickets are available December 3rd at 800-745-3000 or online at Ticketmaster.com. Book People Unite is the start of a movement to help more people and more children develop a passion for books and learning. Help ignite a reading renaissance in our community. More info at bookpeopleunite.org. That's a notice from the WLRN Community Bulletin Board.
From the creators of the sold-out theatrical event Deaf and Harry Houdini comes The Nutcracker. Not the ballet, it's a magical new play, described as a riveting reinvention of the holiday classic. Time Out says, just when you think you've seen it all, something pops up from the shadows with a whole new spin on things. The Chicago Critic says, hurry before the hipsters buy all the seats. You and your family can believe in magic again. Seating is limited in the intimate Carnival Studio Theater. Info at artscenter.org.
Welcome back to Inside Art Basel, a WLRN Miami Herald News special. I'm Alicia Zuckerman. There is so much going on this week, we would need an army to cover it all. So throughout the week, we're asking for your help. Tell us what you see that shouldn't be missed or something you overhear that tells us a little bit about what this art scene is all about this week. Or maybe something you see that you're not sure is art. You can tweet us that at WLRN. In the next part of this hour, we're taking a look at the impact Art Basel has had on Miami. I'm joined by David Lombardi, a real estate developer known for his work developing with the Wynwood neighborhood, George Sanchez Calderon, a Miami-based artist currently exhibiting his work at the Miami Art Museum, and Jane Wooldridge, the Miami Herald's business editor who is overseeing the paper's Art Basel coverage. Thanks to all of you for being here.
Thank you.
I know this is a really, really busy week, so I do appreciate you taking the time to spend a little of it talking with us. Jane, do we know about how many people come to Miami for this week for Art Basel?
Well, we don't, and there are many good reasons for that. Part of it is that a lot of them come on NetJets, which is the private jet service, and we can sometimes get a number at the end of it all, how many jets came and went, but you... getting an exact number of how many people have come is difficult. Then you have people who come in through the main airports. I think a safe way to say this, and we have actually tried to look at economic impact numbers and discovered that in the month of December, at least last year, it's not that it's appreciably higher in terms of the receivables and sort of the tax collections than it has been in other good years. What it is empirical. There's more traffic. Every hotel room in Miami is full this week in a week that used to be a dead zone. So from a numeric standpoint, we know there's a lot of commerce being done. We know that there's a lot of money coming into the community. And the spillover effect, of course, is something that was big during before the bad years, before the recession. And we're seeing an enormous wave of again this year, which is marketing high-end real estate to out-of-towners. Christie's Real Estate is bringing in, through their EWM associate here, is bringing in brokers from all over the world. People from all over the globe are here looking at real estate. People who didn't really think of Miami as a place for them before art became a big part of our vernacular here.
So it's starting to take on this kind of dual purpose.
It's a major marketing opportunity. You've got everybody from Bugatti to BMW to Cartier. Everybody and his upscale brother is here.
When did the satellite fares like Scope and Pulse and Nauta and Red Dot and, you know, all of the others, when did those start to sort to pop up?
I think the first year.
Yeah.
They came part and parcel with the main fare. Scope, Pulse.
They came after. They came a couple of years after.
Did they?
No, actually, there were a couple of them first year.
A couple were in the first year, yeah. But
most
of it developed. Yeah, Nauta came probably the second or third year after the fare was in town.
Right.
Scope, I'm fairly certain, developed like by the third year.
And also, the first year, actually, that Art Basel was supposed to be in Miami Beach was canceled. Because right, and
yeah.
So, right, it's 2001, and it was canceled because of September 11th.
Yes.
Yes.
George, one of the things that I've heard you talk about is the fact that all of these other sort of locally driven events happened in spite of the fact that Basel canceled.
Yeah, thank you for having me. And it's nice to be here with Jane and David. A lot happened since then, since the first year. That first year, things were canceled. What I always heard was that there was insurance problems with shipping the work from Europe, which affected the reason why, you know, people couldn't send the work over even to exhibit it. And I think the economic impact of how you're describing it in the real estate is really interesting because so much has happened. And in those 10 years since Basel's been coming, I've been contracted due to real estate and economic reasons for development to present different projects at different periods of time throughout the year. So the second year the fair was in town, which was the third year they were planned, 2003, David actually put me in contact with the developers of Midtown Miami. Mm-hmm. And we created a fair inside of a fair, you know, carnivalesque kind of event, which really spoke this and that, consequently became the Midtown development.
Talk a little bit about the kind of artwork that you do, since we're hearing you talk sort of conceptually about all of this, and what people can see right now. You have an exhibition at the Miami Art Museum and one in Bell Harbor.
At the moment, I was nominated for a project in Bell Harbor that I won the first public art commission at.
Congratulations.
And it's interesting. Thank you very much. It's been an interesting. It's always a great opportunity for me to get to exhibit public work. For this reason, because it's rare, and when it's temporal, I find it to be very unique. But, you know, it can't go without being said that these kinds of programs go developed at the same time that LVMH is moving out of Bell Harbor, Design District is now revamping itself and presenting itself in a new manner. The influence that David's had in Wynwood is enormous, because even as a property owner, he brought in other people like Tony Goldman, you know, rest in peace.
Yeah, the developer.
Which really had an enormous impact, and a lot of people forgot. I think that David was...
Real validation for me for all the years I had been working up until that point for Tony to identify and see the same potential I had seen.
Give us a sense of, you know, for people who may not know, and, you know, there may be a few out there, mm-hmm. and since we're remembering Tony Goldman this week, give us a sense of who he was, the importance to this community. I know you worked pretty closely with him. I think maybe in some ways he was sort of a mentor of yours.
When I was a kid, I used to read books involving Tony Goldman. Never did I dream I'd get to work with him hand in hand in shaping a neighborhood. So he was an icon. He was larger than life. He was always upbeat, always very positive, always told me how this is not for the faint of heart, this community rebuilding. Every day you have to do your push-ups and sit-ups. And he really helped me bring consensus and create a Wynwood Art District Association among the business and property owners, because he added real validity to the project, because he had done it several times before.
So Tony, and for people who don't know, Tony was the driving force behind the redevelopment of Soho in New York and South Beach. I mean, it was when I was first in town and hanging out on South Beach in its very early stages, Tony was the guy.
And can you just tell us a little bit how we're remembering him this week in Wynwood, in the neighborhood that you're credited with developing?
Sure. Shepard Fairey was in last week. He redid his mural to incorporate an image of Tony overlooking the Wynwood Wall Park. And this evening, I think it's at 6:30 p.m., they're opening a new pop-up shop dedicated with all works that Tony selected and artists that he favored.
I want to talk a little about the connection between Art Basel Miami Beach and Wynwood. Mm-hmm. Do you think that this neighborhood, the way it's developed, the way you've developed it, and things that have popped up around it, the community that's happening there, artist galleries, coffee shops now, there's a beer brewery in the works.
There's a butcher
like
shop.
A butcher shop. I didn't know
about
that.
There's a fantastic barbecue restaurant called Pride and Joy.
I heard that's great.
It is great. And I live on Miami Beach now since I'm 7 years old, 39 years.
Wow.
And I could tell you, all of my neighbors now are thinking about selling their homes and taking a loft in Wynwood.
So the neighborhood, Wynwood, has changed considerably. Mm-hmm. It didn't used to be called Wynwood. First of all, it was, you know, a different part of the city. But do you think it would have been possible for all of this to happen without Art Basel? Or you know, what do you think the connection is? How do you think Art Basel may have helped or not helped?
Art Basel helped in a tremendous way because it brought Wynwood to the international forefront. Many Miamians today still, in Pinecrest, Kendall, Coral Gables, a lot of them still have never been in Wynwood. But I was on a train going from London to Paris, and the woman sitting next to me, when I told her I work in Wynwood, she knew right away what I was talking about. So I think Art Basel brought that international recognition to our neighborhood.
Is it in a way, did Art Basel give Miami a different kind of stamp of cultural validity? I mean, and what's interesting to me is like it's 4 days. It's not even a whole week, you know.
Well, I think I think we would be doing ourselves a disservice if we weren't to recognize that Miami has had longtime arts pioneers here. And people, you know, we were talking before about getting the Arts Center built. Believe me, was there were people pushing that concept that art was important, and the Knight Foundation's been very instrumental in that. But Art Basel Miami Beach kind of became the imprimatur. Miami for a long time has had this, and I think we're finally getting over it, I'm happy to say, but for a long time we've had we must have the outsider recognition to think we're okay concept.
Right.
I mean, we've really had this complex about inferiority. And I think that's about to end. But certainly Art Basel came at a time that I think the community was ready to to take the arts more seriously. And of course, the New World Symphony Center that on the beach has been a big part of that. Now you've got the Young Arts Campus here in the old Bacardi Center. You've got the Art Museum going up, which will open this time next year. We finally have a Performing Arts Center.
Right. The MoCA is doubling its size.
Yeah, MoCA is a spectacular, spectacular organization. You've got the Bass. So I think that it became an important catalyst to encourage people who were already on a good path that, yes, this was a good path to be on and to get others on board.
I just want to remind people that you are listening to Inside Art Basel, a WLRN Miami Herald News special. I am speaking with the Miami Herald's business editor, Jane Wooldridge, Wynwood developer David Lombardi, and artist George Sanchez Calderon. WLRN and the Miami Herald have a resource called the Public Insight Network. It's a database of sources throughout the community. People can sign up. Anybody who wants to be a part of it can sign up. We asked Public Insight Network members what impact they've seen from Art Basel. And Wendy, who lives in the Design District, told us that her favorite part of Basel is that a lot of street repair and sprucing up happens around the city, and particularly in her neighborhood. She wishes that people took more pride in the city in between big events like Basel and the Super Bowl. Do you want to talk about that, David? Well, David Lombardi?
Well, I think she's correct. I think the city needs to be more of a partner in the progress of the whole area. For example, we can't get garbage cans from the city for 3 years of requesting them. Hmm. It's like pulling teeth. And we're attracting tens of thousands of people a year to the streets of Wynwood, and there's nowhere to throw anything out. So those types of things need to be addressed more. The city needs to look at us as an incredible catalyst for growth in the arts. The greatest return on investment a country could make is in its arts. And we in the private sector have done our part, and now it's time the public sector has to step up and help.
Do you see, George, do you see an increase as an artist and as someone who works sort of both in the private and public sector? Do you see local governments becoming more attuned to the importance of arts? Last night we saw the Knight Foundation, which is a foundation, of course, but give $23 million away to arts organizations, one of which was Miami-Dade County. Do you see kind of an increased awareness?
I've had a different experience. The first project I did, which was during the Basel that was canceled and it stayed up for 3 years, was a recreation of the Villa Savoie by Le Corbusier. Mm-hmm. And I put it in Overtown underneath I-395 to make this comment about the direction and where we've arrived at modern, during the modern experiment. That was sponsored by the City of Miami. So I actually approached them, and Commissioner Arthur Teal, that was the head of the CRA at the time, about this opportunity of this outreach, which no one really thought about. I think it's changed in the 10 years. Has been my experience, because some people that have learned about it in the last few years feel a little more entitled as to where the direction of these funds and resources have gone. So personally, I would say my relationship with that has changed. I found a lot of support in the past, and now I get a lot of advice. So that's changed a lot in 10 years. But I don't think it's a bad thing. It's just because there's a larger group of people vying for public dollars, and that direction, that, you know, now that they're a little more aware of it, makes them guided in a manner that says, you know, sometimes I might go to a cousin or something.
I have a question, though. I know that's not my job.
We love that here.
But George, I'm interested in, and it's something I often ask artists here, with the majority of your work, your private clients, mm-hmm. are they locally based, or are they people coming from out of town?
I see more out of towners during the period of time around Basel.
What about the rest of the year?
The rest of the year, I see locals.
Well, that's good. I've talked to a number of artists and gallerists, and in fact, we had a Business Monday cover yesterday on galleries that say, you know, they have trouble building a client base locally. That they get most of their clients from out of town. So I'm pleased to hear that.
I think the galleries, it's different for galleries and for private artists. Some artists sell on their own. I've never worked with a gallery, mm-hmm. so I've done all of my projects independent. I from what I understand, a lot of the galleries are having a hard time selling to locals, but they're reaching such an international community mm-hmm. and getting so much exposure, which is one of the huge benefits that they've really brought, that it changes the economic structure of how they can operate. And for that matter, a lot of galleries, not just in Miami, in New York and other cities, have really gone towards the direction and the model of the more mercantile traveling fair for doing sales. Why? Because overheads are expensive. Market got hit hard in 08. Why do you have this space? I mean, I've spoken to some dealers that actually have sold a lot more as a private dealer when they closed their space than when they had the overhead and the stress of maintaining it. And they're actually making more money.
Oh, yeah, I can attest to that because, you know, I own Museo Vault, and our business is going up exponentially each year. And we're seeing some gallerists move out of a traditional space, storing with us and working out of our viewing room. And they'll do these fairs around the country, and they're having more success.
Yeah, that business model, Jane, is really interesting of how, when you look at the history of galleries and how they have functioned throughout the years, they've changed from the Soho district in New York to the larger Chelsea
right.
white box space. And that's actually transitioning now to a lot of private dealing, and the white box space is being maintained by mega dealers. So the smaller dealers yes. have finding yeah. the small dealer literally wants a small space as opposed to a big white box space. So they're going in under the radar, a little more hip profile, saying, I don't have that kind of money, but I show good work.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because that affects the real estate market as to the type of product where you might rent, you could rent out an anchor to a gallery, and then you would need smaller galleries now to fulfill the need for more private dealing, smaller shows, less shows than once a month, maybe quarterly, you know, during season a few more. So that model financially has changed dramatically in the past.
I think we should have talked to you before we did our cover. Next time we'll go.
Right, case in point, Butter Gallery's opening tonight. He right. left Wynwood. Mm-hmm. He ended up moving just west on 7th Avenue.
And bought the and property.
Tell
and
us,
he bought the property.
Tell listeners who Butter property. Is and the kind of... The
oh,
kind of
Paco work. De La Torre. Paco is a very good dealer, a very creative guy. In fact, Anthony Spinello followed him in yes. the same building. And, you know,
Spinello's
they're blazing.
In Art Basel this
right.
year.
One of the,
right.
Anthony's and, in Art Basel and one of the two, yeah. One of the two Miami galleries in Art Basel,
yes.
And out of over 250, which is a little bit of a point of contention, I think. I've heard mm-hmm. that there's, you know, some resentment about the fact that out of, as I said, over 250 galleries that are taking part of the, in the main fair, Art Basel Miami Beach, only two, and last year it was three. So it's really not a huge representation.
Right.
What about that? I mean, Basel says they're not here to showcase Miami. They're here to showcase, you know.
It's a private business. I think that's a great answer. They're not here to showcase Miami. They're here to make money. It's business.
I also think that if you set a standard as a business, which they have, and it's a very high standard, then you get to pick who fits in your who meets your bar. That doesn't necessarily cut out Miami galleries, who many of whom have spaces at side fairs all through town. And I was at Untitled last night, which is a brand new fair, very spacious space right on the beach. It's a we're not supposed to call it a tent, but that's what it is. And you never know what people are really doing in terms of business, but people did say that they were making sales. So
I think the challenge for gallers in Miami isn't to get into Art Basel Miami. I think it's to get into Art Basel Switzerland, to be doing a project over there. I mean, it's really
You're
the
right.
irony is that
huh.
we know so many people are familiar with Basel Switzerland now in Miami, but I've been to Basel quite a bit. There isn't a lot of Miami in Basel.
So I would encourage
a caravan of influence, some Cuban coffee, maybe some tostones.
Actually, I would
ceviche,
argue with you.
Ceviche would be great.
I would say that there is some influence, and that's that Design Miami is a fair that was started here and was then later partly purchased by Art Basel. So we get our
but
little
going
moment.
Back to a real estate developer, Art Miami is owned by Craig.
Well, I mean, it's owned by Craig. Yeah.
So it was was really
Craig
generated
Robbins.
Not by a dealer.
We
so the
are
dealers
actually
are trying to get
to
into the fair, and Craig ends up getting working with the fair.
Well, we're going to have to go to a break. I'm sorry to cut you off, but I don't want to miss one detail from all of you, which is what is either the exhibition or the event or the piece of art that you are most looking forward to seeing this week? Jane?
Boy, that is a tough, tough one. I am particularly interested. Of course, you can't get into Basel until it opens, so I don't know what's there that I'm excited about. But there are a couple of things coming to Art Miami. There is an exhibition by Banksy, the street artist, and there's also a life-size carousel made out of sugar called Sugar and Gomorrah.
Oh, and you know I love carousels.
I know. So you and I've had that conversation. So I think those are things to see. But in terms of serious art, that's something you never know until you get into the fairs and are able to look at it.
And David? David Lombardi?
I'm more of a street guy. So I'm excited about As If's Guns in my pop-up shop done by Primary Projects. This is a gentleman who's creating an old school gun shop, and all of his guns are made out of cardboard. The other one is Artists for Israel, right across from Art Miami on 29th Street, next door to Morgan's Restaurant. They've created an outdoor art gallery with oversized walls on a vacant piece of land. So I'm excited about those.
Yeah, Asif's Guns is pretty cool, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And George?
Just seeing friends, running into, you know, meeting new people. I can't say, yeah, I haven't seen it yet, so it would be easier to tell you after. But I don't have expectations about it, really.
You don't have sort of like a go-to, like, I can't miss this. Like, I know I can't miss that.
I stopped doing that years ago. I go with it. I let go. And I go with the fair and direction and friends and people drop by the studio and do visits. I had a great studio visit the other night. Dieter Burkhart was by. And it's a very organic experience, so I like to reflect on it better than have expectations.
Fair enough. George Sanchez Calderon, David Lombardi, and Jane Wooldridge, thank you all very much for talking to me.
Thank you.
And remember that we are looking for your tweets about Miami Art Week, moments that tell a story or photos of work that you love or can't stand, or maybe you're not sure if it's art at all. Tweet us at WLRN. And in the next segment, I'll be speaking with Miami New Times arts and culture editor Ciara Lavelle and arts advocate Amy Rosenberg about how to Art Basel and do the other fairs without getting completely overwhelmed. We will be back in a minute.
Back to Inside Art Basel in just a moment on 91.3 WLRN, South Florida's NPR news station, and NPR for the Florida Keys, 91.5 WKWM. Thanks so much for joining us today. The Gold Coast Jazz Society hosts Free Friday Jazz Jams this Friday, December 7th, from 7:30 to 9:30 p.m. at ArtServe, 1350 East Sunrise Boulevard. Young jazz musicians jam with the pros. Details at goldcoastjazz.org. We come from different places, we come to different conclusions, but underneath it all, we share a passion for improving the human condition. Real change won't happen without you, so give, advocate, volunteer, live united. More info at liveunited.org. That's a notice from the WLRN Community Bulletin Board.
Hello, I'm Renee Montaigne of NPR News. WLRN counts on listener support to pay for the news. You can help by making a contribution. When the WLRN Fund Drive begins this Wednesday morning at 7, there will be only 3 hours of fundraising for the day. After 10 a.m., the rest of the day will be fundraising free. So please help WLRN bring you more news with as little on-air fundraising as possible. Give Wednesday morning, and please give as generously as you can. Thank you.
The Patricia and Philip Frost Art Museum at FIU invite you to the 9th annual Breakfast in the Park on Sunday, December 9th from 9:30 a.m. to noon. There will be a complimentary breakfast, an informal lecture by renowned sculptor Albert Paley, and guided tours of the museum and the sculpture park. Information at 305-348-2890 or thefrost.fiu.edu. That's thefrost.fiu.edu.
And And welcome back to Inside Art Basel, a WLRN Miami Herald News special. I'm Alicia Zuckerman. So we've talked about the history of Art Basel and its impact on Miami. Now we're going to delve into some practical advice. How do you navigate all of this? For the last part of the hour, I'm joined by Sierra Lavelle, Arts and Culture Editor at Miami New Times. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And Amy Rosenberg, a community arts advocate and culture columnist for socialmiami.com. Thanks for being here, Amy.
Happy to be here.
And you can tweet us your tips for taking in this week's art events, as well as your favorite activity during Art Basel and all of the surrounding events at WLRN. Art Basel has really become shorthand for the hundreds of events that are happening in and around Miami this week. There's so much going on that it can kind of feel a little overwhelming. How do you avoid that? Like, how do you kind of deal with everything that's going on and get a lot, still get a lot out of it?
I don't know if there's a way to not feel overwhelmed by it. There's so much happening. And if you're interested in the arts, I think it's kind of impossible because you do want to see everything and do everything. But that's part of what makes it exciting as well as frustrating. For me, I've had to just make a list and really just try to stick to it, try to hit everything per day and, yeah, work it that way.
And Amy, you do an event, right, called How to Art Basel?
Yes, we do it. We did it about a month ago, and it was 10 experts, people from it ranged from artists to the director of Design Miami, and each of them spoke to intimate groups of 10 people, and it was kind of like a speed dating event, and it gave people real insight into what's going on this week.
So what did you get from that, and what did the people who went to that event, like, share that with our listeners?
So, for example, we had Stephanie Reed from Art Basel, and she was able to break down what can be really overwhelming and dizzying for a lot of people. And she let people know that Art Basel has sections. It has an area where you can actually listen to lectures and conversations. There's an area for emerging art. There's an area for video art, for example. So it really makes it much easier to digest.
Amy, you've said that Art Basel for you is like the high holidays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Art Basel.
Into one.
It falls into the days of awe for you, I guess. What do you mean by that?
Well, it's just an opportunity to really appreciate and savor the arts and the spectacle of what happens this week. You know, the way it unfolds, you know, a lot of people don't realize that this takes a year to actually make this week happen. And there are artists, for example, there's a California artist named Dixon Schneider, and he painstakingly raised $800 on Kickstarter just to come here. And he's built a portable free art cart, and he's going to push it around Miami and offer 300 works for free to people. I mean, there are just so many riches everywhere you look.
And where is he going to be?
He's roaming around. You have to keep an eye out.
The Public Insight Network, which is a database, as I talked about earlier, of sources, anybody who's listening now can become a part of it by going to WLRN.org/insight. We put out, you know, sort of a query for people, and we asked them to tell us what Art Basel means to them. And we heard from Cortland in Fort Lauderdale, who said it's basically a big party for billionaires, and that his favorite events were the things that align themselves with Basel, like Art Miami, which was an art fair that was here before Art Basel. There's a lot of coverage of the celebrities and of the really big purchases, but what is in this week that's for, well, let's say the rest of us?
I would say right off the bat, Wynwood. Every year at this time, it kind of goes through a transformation where the street artists come from all over the world. We just wrote about something recently, a street artist from Hawaii who has come and has created this big mural. And you really, driving through it, if you're familiar with the area, it looks like a whole different place because the street artists have come out and have painted so many of the walls. It's really it's exciting to see that, and that's entirely free. The galleries in that area are generally entirely free, and they all have some really incredible stuff coming up too.
It's really not easy to talk about art on the radio in terms of what it looks like, and we could talk about it conceptually and what it means and economic impact and things like that, but you're talking about Wynwood. Could you kind of describe to people who maybe aren't so familiar with the neighborhood what it looks like right now?
Well, before it was kind of transformed into this arts neighborhood, it was really just a collection of warehouses, and those structures are still there. So you have these enormous sides of buildings that are now transformed into pretty much just giant canvases for people. And they're all, I mean, I can't think of one that's not covered with some sort of art. And then in between all of that, you have just collections of galleries. Northwest 2nd Avenue is just a strip, you know, just you could pop down each and every single one of them. And it's a diverse area too. You can see a lot of different types of art.
And the colors are so amazing. It becomes kind of like this wonderland. There's something very whimsical and yet gritty, because it does still retain a certain like sort of edginess, that neighborhood, Wynwood. So it's an interesting juxtaposition. Amy, you've done a lot of work promoting cultural events in Overtown. You're the founder of the Overtown Music Project. Can you tell me what's happening there in that neighborhood this week?
Sure. There's an event called Art Africa, and Art Africa explores the art of the diaspora, and it's a wonderful opportunity to see artists whose work really is on the fringes, but for this very special week, it's exposed and open to everyone.
What are some of the pieces that people can see there? Well, you can find out more about that at WLRN.org. And I should mention that we have actually started our coverage online. We've been doing a lot of online coverage for about a week now with a lot of really practical advice. And we are asking for your help in sort of giving us practical advice. You can tweet us at WLRN to help us with that. How are the satellite fairs different from Art Basel? And I know they're all very, very different from each other, but kind of give me a sense of what people can do if they're interested in this kind of art versus that kind of art, maybe modern art or photography or sculpture or digital art and so on and so forth.
Yesterday I actually read a really fun piece online comparing the wide range of satellite fairs to high school stereotypes. So you've got Art Basel, which is like the quarterback, and he's, you know, the main guy. And then you have fairs like Untitled, which is sort of the enigmatic new kid. Nobody really knows what to expect because he's new. I think Nada was like the outcast, kind of like the hipster, cool, not going to prom and planning a party in his parents' basement kind of thing.
Was, but now it's like really one of the go-to fairs.
Yeah, absolutely.
For emerging, I mean,
absolutely.
If you want to see like the emerging
artists.
And it's
also free.
Right, and it's free. Mm-hmm. Later in the week, we'll be airing a story about some New World School of the Arts undergraduates who have some digital artwork being shown at NADA. So you can stay tuned for that. But it's amazing to see how some of these fairs that started as maybe a little bit on the fringe have really grown up to become, really, really important kind of don't miss fairs. What are some of your don't miss events? Like, what are you really, really looking forward to?
Oh, that's really hard. I want to, in addition to the fairs, I want to make sure not to miss a lot of the public art that's going on. Not just street art in Wynwood, but there's a lot of really kind of wacky stuff going up. I know in Midtown there's the Sugar and Gamora roller coaster. Lord South Beach has a huge blow up dog
Gypsy.
Covering Gypsy the dog that's going to tell people's fortunes. I mean, just things like that that are such a spectacle. I feel like you got to at least indulge a little bit of that.
And there's like the alligator in the bay, right? There's this big sculpture that's an alligator, which I think Greg Allen from NPR is covering. So you can listen to a little bit more on that as well. This is there's something going on the beach that's supposed to be replicating a moon landing.
Right. Yeah. And then I think I read they're going to have artists and curators and gallery owners play soccer on it afterwards. So that should be interesting to see. Definitely not your typical athletes.
Oh, and also there's a pop-up piano exhibition project going on throughout the city. Our social media editor Danny Rivero is really involved in that. But you know, if you like me don't have enough room in your apartment or where you live for a piano but really miss like tickling the ivories, then you can just sort of wander the streets and do that. That's going to be kind of open to the public. It's another really cool event. Amy, what about your sort of don't miss list?
Well, Rainy Town, which is a solo project at Primary Project. It's a installation in motion with hybrid animals and, from what I've heard, a 10-foot plant person. So that's a not to miss. I'm kind of intrigued also by, I think this is the year of the dog. So in addition to Lord South Beach being transformed into a dog, Design Miami has architecture for dogs, which is a breed-specific structure created by 12 designers. So that's on my list.
And so architecture for dogs, what does that mean exactly?
Designers and architects have been commissioned to create structures that are dog-friendly and that somehow help the dogs interact with their owners.
What are your each of your sort of practical tips, like things like getting around, transportation, how to dress, shoes?
Comfortable shoes. Oh, yeah. I do not understand women I see at events wearing these high heels. My feet would fall off my body. I don't understand it.
Yeah, I have to say I inherited my grandmother's feet. I'm not able to wear all those fabulous shoes that I see. But one of my favorite things to do during, I think it was the last Art Basel, was to just sit and look at people's feet because they were wearing incomprehensibly high heels. I can't imagine that either.
I would add to that and say whenever you can, if you're driving, try to find a municipal lot because those are definitely cheaper than the private lots. You'll save a lot of money.
And what about public transportation? I think, well, we actually have, if you're interested in that, we have a web post on WLRN.org so you can find out a little bit more about getting around on public transportation. You know, buses still get stuck in traffic, but, you know, maybe you can be reading up on what you want to see and plotting your list throughout the day. Any other tips on things like food or like what's good for family or anything like that?
I think there's a lot that's good for family. You mentioned pop-up piano. That's definitely a good one. On Sunday, the Frost Museum is doing a breakfast, and it's the kind of atmosphere where kids can actually touch the sculptures and nobody's going to yell at them. There's also in front of the Bass Museum, there are a lot of sculptures, and that's just a wonderful place to get a picnic together and take the kids.
We are out of time, believe it or not. I can't believe how fast this flew. Thank you both for joining us, Sierra Lavelle and Amy Rosenberg. Thank you for being here. And that's it for Inside Art Basel, a WLRN Miami Herald News special. If you missed any of this show, we'll post it online at WLRN.org. Remember that all week we'll be looking for your tweets about Miami Art Week, little stories, things you overhear, the best and worst stuff you see, advice for how to take it all in, and don't forget the photos. Tweet us at WLRN. You'll also find the latest updates on our coverage on WLRN.org and on Twitter. Inside Art Basel was produced by Elaine Chen. Our social media editor is Danny Rivero. Our technical supervisor has been Caroline Brader-Watts. Our executive producer at WLRN is Peter J. Mertz. News director for WLRN, Miami Herald News, is Dan Gretsch. And this music is by Budos Band, which you can find on Daptoad Records. I'm Alicia Zuckerman. Thank you and happy art basiling.